Welcome everyone to our church English worship service. Today is a very, very special day, and I feel so blessed because first, last Sunday, it was Super Bowl Sunday, and New Orleans actually won, okay, in Super Bowl, historical event, and we were all very happy. And today, immediately after Super Bowl Sunday, guess what? Today is, okay, this weekend, Mardi Gras weekend. We also, today is the first day of the Chinese New Year. Plus, today is Valentine's Day. I think this is like something that probably happens only once in a lifetime, such coincidences. So cherish every moment of it. And today, we will be blessed because God has a message for us that will help us to learn how to be a perfect Valentine. Okay, it's Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is named after one or more early Christian martyrs who were killed for their faith. And since 496 after Jesus Christ was born, then a pope tried to remember the sacrifices these martyrs made for their faith, and also their love. So they started remembering these martyrs on Valentine's Day, and these martyrs' name were Valentine. Okay, so but now it has more become a day on which people would express their love for their lovers. Okay, typically boyfriend, girlfriend, or wife, husband, and. But it is also a day, I believe, businesses have benefited greatly because this is the day people are encouraged to buy flowers, candies, balloons to express their love for their lovers. And of course, also buying those Valentine's Day cards. Actually, those cards are called Valentine's. Okay? So, but I believe we all can benefit from Valentine's Day. Why? Because if we don't focus on the commercial side of Valentine's Day, but also think that actually it can benefit us if we learn how to express our love to boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband, but also to those we love and those who love us, then we can benefit enough from Valentine's Day. And also, brothers and sisters in Christ, we should express our love practically to one another. So Valentine's Day reminds us of the sacrificial love that we all need in our lives. Who doesn't need love? We all need love. And we experience love in different human relationships. How do you experience love? You interact with people and people love you. Okay? But I want to share with you that nowadays, how to build loving relationships is becoming more and more challenging and more difficult because we have entered, whether you know it or not, the internet age, and people love virtual communities online. They feel more comfortable interacting with people through the internet, sitting behind the computer monitor, than interacting with people face to face. If they have to interact with people face to face, usually it's very superficial. Hello, goodbye, that's it. And when they get deeper into their relationships, a minor difference among them can very easily cause them to become enemies from friends. People are not very tolerant when they interact with people, especially face to face, because of the differences. So that's why it is very challenging for us to develop deeper interpersonal face to face relationships. And yet we all need such relationships in order to experience love. We are in a dilemma. What can we do to experience the love that we all need, so that marriages will not end up in divorces? Half of the marriages today will end up in divorces in the future, or friends break up very easily. So that's why I want to share today's message with you. It's because God hates divorces. Breakups. Malachi chapter 2 verse 16 says that I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. God hates divorce. Marriage is holy in God's eyes, and yet nowadays people are taking it so lightly to just divorce. Today from Hosea chapter 3 verses 1 to 5, we will learn a good example of a perfect Valentine. Perfect Valentine, and how we can be F-R-E-E, free from divorce and breakups in our marriage and other relationships with our closest ones, or even with our other friends. I don't know what happened to you in the past, in your marriage relationship, or your relationship with other people. But what I pray is that from Valentine's Day on, that's today, that no one here will end up in divorce or breakups in those friends' relationships. We will learn how to be free from divorce and breakups. Stand by, is represented by four letters, F-R-E-E, free. What does that represent? You will see. First of all, free. F. That stands for forgive sins. F. A perfect Valentine forgives sins or other people's mistakes in their lives. Verse 1, Hosea chapter 3. Open your Bible to Hosea chapter 3. We'll look at verses 1 to 5, that's the whole chapter, 3, and that's just 5 verses. Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. The Lord said to me, God spoke to Hosea the prophet, go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. The sacred raisin cakes, you wonder, what are those? Okay, they were the cakes made to be offered to Baal, the false god. And this is one of the false gods that the Israelites worshipped. Although they had the true god, they worshipped the false gods. And God asked Hosea to do something that's difficult for anyone to do. To take back her wife, who became a prostitute after their marriage. Not only that, she became a slave after their marriage. Hosea must have been hurt badly in that relationship with her wife. And now God asked him to take her back. I see that to love here is difficult because it involves forgiving. Actually, one of the elements of love is forgiveness. If you have your Bible, you can open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 5. The Bible most thoroughly defines love. Human beings define love, but nobody can define love better than God, because God is love. Let me just read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. No record of wrongs. Love forgives. A writer said that in his experience, he met someone who professed, who said that he was a Christian, but he felt he was the most miserable man of all. Guess what? He had a notebook to write down all the offenses people had against him. He tried to remember those things, and that was miserable for him because he will always remember the bad things people did against him. And he will always count these things against those people whenever he sees those people. As a result, he will always be in bitterness and hatred. Hosea was a prophet of Israel during the 8th century before Jesus Christ was born. He was a moral and compassionate man. He was willing to obey God at all costs. Why? Think about that. In chapter 1, verse 3 of Hosea, God asked him to marry a woman, an adulterous woman. At that time, she was not a prostitute yet, but God told him that this woman will become a prostitute, unfaithful woman, but you are going to marry her. Who, as a man, would be willing to marry a woman knowing that that woman will become a prostitute in the future? It's very hard, especially for a prophet. Prophet is supposed to teach people about God's word, and he lived a moral and loving life, righteous life. But now, if he marries a wife, a woman who will become a prostitute, guess what people will say about Hosea? See, he's a prophet who teaches other people about God, but couldn't even teach his own wife, who became a prostitute. What a shame. So Hosea must face a lot of insults, ridicules from other people as a prophet of God to marry a woman who becomes a prostitute. But what did Hosea do? He obeyed. He obeyed God. He must be really upset when he actually lived with his wife, whose name is Gomer, according to chapter 1, verse 2. And they even had three kids together before Gomer became a prostitute. But this could still be a happy family, don't you think so? Hosea, a moral, a good man, prophet of God, and a woman who had a tendency to be adulterous, to be unfaithful, but they already had three kids. Very happy family. If Gomer did not mess it up, if Gomer did not go out to seek other men, like what Tiger Woods did to his wife. It happens even today. Think about how hard it is for Tiger Woods' wife to take Tiger Woods back in her heart, to still take Tiger Woods as her husband. Similarly, it was hard for Hosea, even harder for Hosea as a prophet. If it was hard for Hosea to marry Gomer the first time, it would be even harder for Hosea to take Gomer back again after she became a prostitute and then also became a snake. Guess what happened? Gomer met man who worshipped Baal and became a temple prostitute because people worshipping Baal, a fertility god, during their worship for Baal, the false god, they would have sexual relationships as a way of their worship to their fertility god, right? Give us more kids, God, fertility god, then what we do is actually have sexual relationships during worship. That's what those people did when they were worshipping Baal. And Gomer became a temple prostitute. Worse than that, the man that he met was just using her, sold her, and she became a snake, losing also her freedom, not only her dignity. Taking Gomer back, Hosea must have heard a lot of people speaking behind his back, or maybe even in his face. Very nasty comments like this: a prostitute's husband who preaches God's word. A prostitute's husband who preaches God's word. People's words, our mouth can produce things that are very hurtful, that can hurt more than a punch or a kick, believe it or not. But these people did not understand that they were just like Gomer, the prostitutes, because they worshiped Baal when they had the true God to worship. They did not worship. They chose Baal. They had become prostitutes, just like Gomer. Seeing Hosea's relationship with Gomer should remind the Israelites to think about themselves, their relationship with God, and they should feel ashamed of themselves instead of gossiping about Hosea, who did nothing wrong and actually demonstrated something enough that human beings cannot naturally demonstrate. Loving someone who has offended you, who has hurt you badly, your enemy. As believers of Jesus Christ, are we sometimes like Gomer? You say Gomer was Hosea's adulterous wife. I mean, has nothing to do with me. But I see that in our sins, even in my own sins, I see that sometimes I am like Gomer. When we sell our bodies to sin, when we have the true God to worship and live a holy life, we do not. We have become prostitutes of sin. Guess what? Sin will do to you, not only making you a prostitute, selling your body to sin, but also making you a slave. If you have experienced sinning, you realize sin has a power over people to control them so that they become like a slave. There are things that they do not want to do, they know that is wrong, but they have no power to say no. They have become slaves. That's how terrible and powerful sin is in our lives. But we are blessed because we have a perfect Valentine. God, just like Hosea, God is willing to forgive our sins. Whenever we are willing to go to God and say, God, I messed up. Sorry. Forgive me. And that's all it takes for God to forgive you. That's amazing. Despite how many bad things we have done against God, how it hurts God to see us in sin, because He is holy. He is willing to forgive us when we confess our sins to Him. That's in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Let me read it to you. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. If you claim that you have not sinned, and there's no sin in your life, the Bible says that you are deceiving yourselves, and the truth is not in you. Verse 9, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. Come back to God. Say, sorry God, I messed up. I sinned. Forgive me. When we sin, not only we sin against God, guess what? We will often hurt the people in our life. Usually the closest people in our life. It might be a boyfriend or girlfriend. It might be your wife or your husband. It might be your parents or your children or closest friends. What should we do to them if we have sinned against them? We have offended them. Not only God. We should also say sorry to them. We should also ask for their forgiveness. James chapter 5 verse 16 says that, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Healed from this illnesses, sicknesses, maybe of the body, most often in the heart, caused by sin. When you sin against God, and against people. Sometimes we are just like Gomer. But sometimes there are people in our lives who are like Gomer to us. What should we do when there is a Gomer in our lives who keeps getting on our nerves, keeps offending us, keeps hurting us? Forgive. How many times should we forgive an offender to us? How many times? Unlimited. You got it? And you read the Bible? Matthew chapter 18 verse 21. Actually, Peter asked the same question. Matthew chapter 18 verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? But Peter was setting a standard pretty high. Seven times, okay? Because at that time, the Pharisees said that you just need to forgive people three times and that's it, okay? But Peter said, I'm willing to forgive seven times and I'm pretty good, right? But what Jesus said? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And then you'll say, okay, 70 times seven. How many times?
490
times. You'll say, okay, just up to 490 times and you start counting. No, what Jesus meant was that unlimited number of times, because seven is a perfect number, seven times 70, that's unlimited. No ending, keep forgiving. It's really not only for the benefit for the people we forgive, also for our own benefit when we are able to forgive. Instead of having a notebook writing down the offenses people had against us, forgiving the Gomer in our lives, what would that do to us? It would free us from bitterness and hatred. Bitterness and hatred is like a prison that we build for ourselves, to put ourselves in for someone else's mistake. Someone made a mistake against us. We build a prison and put ourselves in it. How ridiculous. But we often do that to ourselves. We don't really know what it means to love ourselves. We hate ourselves sometimes if we don't forgive our offenders, offense to us. It is forgiveness, unending forgiveness, that can make marriage, wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, parents, children, and other close human relationships, divorce or breakup free. Forgiveness is the key. If you can forgive, that means you'll not be offended, you'll not think about I break up with you, I'll divorce you, because you have already forgiven. The offense does not get to you. That's why you continue in the relationship. See how powerful forgiveness is to make marriages or any human relationship break up free. So, starting from today, Valentine's Day, let us learn to be a perfect Valentine, first of all, to come to God and the people we have offended, ask for forgiveness. Second, we forgive the Gomer in our lives. Set ourselves free. Second, F stands for forgiveness, R and E. R stands for redeem, and E stands for edify sinners. You'll see what that means, to redeem and to edify sinners. Hosea chapter 3 verse 2. Hosea obeyed. He was willing to take back his wife who became a prostitute and then a slave. So I bought her, Hosea, I bought her for 15 shekels. Shekel is a unit of currency. Okay? And 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a nethic of barley. What is homer and nethic? Homer is a unit of volume, okay? And nethic is half a homer. So a homer and a nethic of barley is about 9 bushels of barley. That's another barley, okay? And that's equivalent to another 15 shekels. So add it together, that's 30 shekels. according to Mosaic law in Exodus chapter 21 verse 32. That's how much it took to buy back a slave, or to buy a slave. Okay? So that's why Hosea spent 30 shekels. Then I told her, after Hosea bought his wife back, you are to live with me many days. No more divorce, no separation, no running away from me, no more prostituting. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you too. You live with me, I live with you. See, forgiving is only the first step for us to become a perfect Valentine. To become a perfect Valentine, it takes the second step and the third step as well. That is to redeem and to edify whoever has offended us. To redeem, like what Hosea did, to buy back. To be willing to spend money, time, sacrifice, to compensate for our offender's mistake against us that resulted in our offender's misery, but we're willing to save our offenders even when they are in trouble. Going beyond just forgiving, but redeeming our offender's sins and mistakes. Not only that, Hosea also taught Gomer the right thing to do and the wrong thing not to do. Stay with me in the marriage relationship. No more prostituting. And I also promise that I will be faithful to you in this relationship. And I will live with you. You are to live with me many days. That is commitment. That's why people make vows in weddings. And that vow should never be broken. Or otherwise, you better not make this vow if you are going to break it. It is a vow for a lifetime. When I think about that, what Hosea did to Gomer was what God did to Israel and also to all sinners, all mankind. When you think about that, I studied the word Hosea in Hebrew, it means salvation. And guess what the word Jesus means? God is salvation. Jesus means God is salvation. So what Hosea was doing was symbolizing what God would do to Israel to buy Israel back despite her adultery towards God. This is also what God would do to all mankind despite our rebellions against God in our sins every day. God paid a high price, gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, and then he rose from the dead. As a result, whoever believes in Jesus can now have eternal life with God, instead of being condemned because of their own sins into hell. This love is beyond our understanding and imagination. This is the love that loves the greatest of enemies, and not just one, but all mankind, all sinners. Let me read from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Of course, you can open your Bible to that. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us how God redeemed us, the sinners. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Redeem us from being slaves to sin. Now we who believe in Jesus Christ have become sons and daughters of the Almighty God who created us and is holy. Verse 6, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. God even gives His own Holy Spirit to us to live in our hearts after He has redeemed us. So you are no longer a slave. No longer a slave. We are free who are in Jesus Christ. Free from the slavery of sin. Free from the power of sins in our lives. Since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Not only that you are a son by your identity, and that you will surely not be condemned to hell, but you also are an heir. That means you receive your blessings, promised blessings in heaven later, with God forever in heaven, a perfect place to be. So God, through Jesus Christ, redeemed us. But God also edifies us after He has redeemed us from the power of sin. How does God edify us? Through His holy word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 and 17 says that all scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, or for edifying believers of Jesus Christ, for building us up. That's why we come to hear God's word, and that is one of the most essential elements of our worship to God, is to hear His word, to be edified, to be built up by God's holy word, so that we will not repeat the same sins that we did against God, hurting God again, so that we will be far away from those by God's power through the Holy Spirit God has already given us, and also through clear instructions from God's word. And we should also do what God wants us to do, the right thing to do. Sin is not to do the right thing and do the wrong thing. So the second step that we should take to make us also perfect Valentines is not only to forgive our offenders unlimited number of times, but we are also willing to redeem, edify those who have offended us. Redeem, like Hosea did. Whoever offended you did something and he messed up, he's in trouble, and I'm willing to spend money and time to help this person to be free from trouble, from slavery. Not only that, after I have gotten my offender out of trouble, that person might be your wife, your husband, your even parents or children, or boyfriend, girlfriend, but I'm willing to tell that person from God's word what is right, what is wrong. Trust in Jesus. With the Holy Spirit and God's word, you can be free from the slavery of sin. That is how we can edify sinners. God did that to us through other believers of Jesus Christ. Think about how you became a believer. Someone shared with you God's word, and you believe. Now you have the Holy Spirit, and now you can study God's word. Then you can be edified, and you can live a life that has the power to overcome sins. We should do the same to those that even have offended us. Not those, just those who love us. Love your enemies. Redeem them and be willing to edify them through God's word and the Holy Spirit. So pray for these people. Thirdly, actually that's already the fourth element. So three, quick review. F stands for forgive sins. R stands for redeem sinners. E stands for, what is that?
Edify.
Edify sinners. Lastly, a perfect Valentine eliminates sin. Not only forgiving sins, redeeming sinners, edifying sinners, but also help the sinners, the offenders, to get rid of the sins. Hosea chapter 3 verse 4 and 5. Let me read that. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without, eliminate, lose their nationality, they were exiled. Without sacrifice or sacred stones, without, eliminate. Symbolizing after they lost their nationality, they were exiled. And they also lost the temple to worship God, so they could not have formal religious activities. Now you can worship God in the church every Sunday. It's a privilege. If you don't cherish it, there might be a day that we don't have a church to go to worship God. That would be really sad. Without ephod is an object used in worshiping idols or idol. Eliminate idols. Verse 5, lastly, afterward the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. Before the exile, Israel as a kingdom was split into two, one in the north, one in the south. The northern kingdom is called Israel, and the southern kingdom is called Judah. And Judah is, the kings of Judah are those from King David, along the lines of King David. Those in Israel, the northern kingdom, rejected the lines of David as kings. That's why they started their own kingdom. But they will repent, return to God, and finally be willing to recognize God's chosen king from the line of David, that ultimately is Jesus Christ, who is from the line of David. And they will come trembling to God and to his blessings in the last days. In the end times, it has not come yet. All the Israelites will finally repent as a nation and return to God. And they will be trembling to God. They will fear God, but it's a healthy kind of fear when they see how God loves them, how God has forgiven them, redeemed them, and also edified them, now also help them to eliminate sin through this period of cleansing, to get rid of what they depended upon other than God. Then they will receive the Lord's blessing. The nation Israel that we see now, this is still a miracle from God, that after almost 2,000 years losing their nationality, they are able to come back together to form a nation. That's a miracle, okay? And it should have partially fulfilled God's prophecy in Ezekiel that the dry bones would, God will put flesh on it and it will come back to life. The kingdom will be restored, but that's not it yet, because the nation Israel has not completely accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah yet. They are still waiting, but there will be a day very soon that they would all repent and recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Savior of mankind that they have waiting for. What God did, it's like this. I'm not sure if you have ever been to a surgery before, where most of us are young, but you probably have this knowledge. Before surgery, what should people do?
Not eat.
Exactly. Not eat for how many hours? 12 hours, I believe, right? 12 hours. The purpose is to cleanse your body. Okay? So that your body will be ready to receive the surgery that will fix the problems, remove the source of pain in your body, and your body will be healthy again. This is what God did to Israel. A period of cleansing and purification, eliminating the sources of their sins. I think one way for us to help ourselves and help those we know who might even have offended us to be cleansed from sins is to have a period of time to get out of the familiar conditions and environments for a period of time. and then providing only the daily necessities, food, water, clothes, shelter, and God's word, the Bible. And then have a disciplined schedule of prayer, studying God's word, and have some exercise, have some healthy recreational activities. I think this will help. It's like a rehabilitation center. This will help many people with problems like smoking, drug addiction, and other problems, maybe even video game addiction. This probably will help if you take those things away from them and let them be cleansed from those things. David? Toby? Sit straight. Okay? Like a healthy young man, okay? So, I have heard stories about people who were addicted to drugs, and in Hong Kong and Taiwan and some other places, they have Christian centers that will help these people to get rid of drug addiction, and that's exactly what they did. Through the gospel, through the power of prayer and God's word, these people were able to get rid of drug addiction that even medical doctors could not help to get rid of. That's the power of God. When we are willing to set aside time to be cleansed from our sins. And that can be done every day. We don't have to go to a rehabilitation center to do that. But you have to find such a rehabilitation center every day. A place where you can just be by yourself with God alone, face to face. That's the time for you to be cleansed from the sins that you have against God and against people. And you'll be amazed how God will bless you if you are willing to do this every day. The perfect Valentine. God eliminates our sins when we are willing to spend time of purification with Him every day. And similarly, we can help those we love to also eliminate sin using the same method. Bring them to God, help them to have times with God alone to be purified. Valentine's Day reminds us that sometimes we're just not goner in our lives. We offend God, we offend people in our lives, even those people who love us deeply. We sell our bodies to sin as prostitutes, as slaves. You see that there are things that you know you should not do, but you can't help, you just keep doing it. See, that's the power of sin. You know how you should behave in worship service, and yet you can't help yourself to do what you know is not right. That's the power of sin. Repent and come to God, then you will be able to be free from the control of sin. When we are a gomer in our lives, we will suffer, we'll lose peace in our sins. Toby, Michael, if you have anything that needs to be settled, you can go outside the sanctuary and come back in. This is where we worship God, do you know that? So behave, or just separate from Toby if he is bothering you. Okay? When we are in sin, we suffer. We are helpless. We can't defeat sin by our own power. We have to trust God. You trust yourself, you continue to do the same wrong thing over and over and over again. But we're so blessed because we have a God, a perfect Valentine, who frees us from the slavery of sin by free forgiving our sins, redeeming us from our sins, edifying us from our sins, and eliminating our sins, when we are willing to have times of purification with Him every day. This also reminds us that we should learn from God and also Hosea, who also followed God's example to be a perfect Valentine to Gomer. How can we do that when someone offends us badly? Forgiveness is something that we cannot do by our own power. By our nature, we hate people who have offended us. We hate enemies. But God wants us to love enemies. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you don't have, maybe that explains why you just have absolutely no power against sin. The Holy Spirit, God's word and prayer, and an attitude to obey God like Hosea did. That's how we can be a perfect Valentine. Then we will have loving and fulfilling marriage relationships, or relationships, boyfriends, girlfriends, parents, children, or brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if we are willing to obey God. We can be free. And I hope all of you will have a happy Valentine's Day and also happy Chinese New Year Day. And as we learn how to be free, we can be a perfect Valentine and we will be blessed. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, would you forgive our sins? Because we are like the Gomer to Hosea, we are like Israelites to you, we continue to sin. We hate sins. You hate sins. You hate divorce in committed marriage relationship. And yet in our sin, we simply have no power to do what is right, and we continue to do what is wrong. God, would you help us to first be willing to ask for your forgiveness, forgive our sins, tell you our sins, and that we are willing to turn away from it, and that we ask for your power to help us to turn away from it. We know by the power of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and your word, you have redeemed us, and you will edify us, and you will help us to eliminate sins. I pray that each one of us, despite our busyness, will be willing to spend even a short period of time, 15 minutes maybe, every day to be purified from sins in our lives. And you will bless us when we do that. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.